How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined, as always, by Mike Sempervivi. Got a lot of news to get into today. It is April 27th. And that means the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view is going to be going on the air moments after we go off the air. So you know what that means. A lot of TNA talk here in the first hour. We're going to be running down the entire card for that show, all of the matches. I don't know if you've seen the poster, but Willow is all over it. He is, in fact, wrestling tonight. The former Jeff Hardy, I guess they're calling him Jeff Hardy's alter ego. Yes, TNA has Jeff Hardy on their roster. And he is currently wrestling as a masked man named Willow. He's going to be teaming with Kurt Angle to face Ethan Carter III and Rockstar Spud. We're going to talk about that, plus all of the matches on the show. Main event, Eric Young and Magnus for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Talk about what's going on at TNA right now, where this is all going, and a lot more. We'll be taking your phone calls as well later on in the program. Phone number 855-478-4478. And along with that, we got a lot of news, including tomorrow, it is Raw with the return of Ric Flair. Why would Ric Flair be returning to Raw? Well, probably has something to do with the fact that Evolution is back together again. So we're going to talk about the return of Ric Flair. How can he fit into this storyline? Is he going to be back as the manager of Evolution? Are they going to do some sort of swerve? He'll end up as the manager of the Shield. What are they going to do tomorrow on Raw? We'll talk about that. Plus, last night, it was UFC 172. We're going to talk about all of the fights on the show last night, including John Jones and Glover Teixeira, which was the main event. We got a lot of UFC events coming up as well. So there's plenty of stuff to talk about. We're going to go to our first break. Back in just a moment with more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike is here on the line. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. It is TNA Sacrifice Sunday. One of only four live pay-per-views that TNA runs every year. We're going to run down the entire lineup here. And Mike, what's going on this afternoon?
Not a whole lot. Just counting down the minutes until this very special quarterly TNA pay-per-view makes its appearance.
That's right. We've got quite a lineup here, let me tell you. Sometimes when there's a TNA show, there's like no interest in watching the pay-per-view going in. But when you look at the card, you go, you know what? Maybe a good show. Looks like some good matches. Not exactly sure that's the case with this particular pay-per-view, but I guess we shall see. Let's run down this card, match by match. First off, we've got Eric Young versus Magnus. This is for the TNA World Heavyweight title. And yes, Eric Young is the champion, facing Magnus, the former champion here. And my thought is that because Eric Young has his fishing and hunting show starting up here in a little while, I believe it is on the Animal Planet, is that correct? But regardless, I think that because he is going to be starting that program up, I think they're going to want to do a lot of press stuff with Eric Young. And as a result, I think that he is probably going to retain the title and probably have it for the next several months. Do you think otherwise?
I do not. And in today's day and age, that actually makes perfect sense to me, believe it or not, in a lot of ways. With that said, is that the reason that Eric Young is currently the Impact Wrestling Heavyweight Champion? Is because he's going to have this show coming up?
Well, that and the fact that he looks very much like Daniel Bryan. And he's an underdog. And he's got a beard.
I mean, that's, you know, I just, because we've talked about that with him, you know, then basically mimicking the entire Daniel Bryan shtick to get Eric Young, Eric Young's now the champion. It just, now with this fishing show, it's very interesting. It's a hell of a thing in 2014 that this is the reason that a guy would be the heavyweight champion of the world in a professional wrestling organization.
We've got the TNA Knockouts title on the line. It is Madison Rayne and Angelina Love. Madison Rayne is the champion. Angelina Love, one of the beautiful people. And I have not cared one single bit about this storyline since day one. I don't even know really what's going on. I watch every single show. I have no idea except that the beautiful people don't like Madison Rayne. Angelina Love, I presume, won a match to get this championship bout. I don't even recall. But suffice to say, I have little interest in this match, and I don't care who wins. Nice. I was trying to be really nice about that, actually, believe it or not.
It's I'll go with Angelina Love winning, although, well, yes, I'll just go with Angelina Love winning the title because the beautiful people, it's whatever feud they're going to go to next with both of these girls, however it's going to work, no one's going to care about that either. So you might as well have the two most recognizable women in your company, which would be Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, both trotting around with the Knockouts championship.
We've got the, man, we're getting through this quickly here. Just not a lot to talk about. Bully Ray and Bobby Roode in a tables match. Only in TNA would you book a program like this.
That's why we're going so fast, because as you're about to say, there's a reason that we're blowing through this so fast and there's not much to talk about.
Bully Ray and Bobby Roode. Bully Ray's gimmick is that he likes to put people through tables. So they're having a tables match here. The problem is, the very first encounter these two men had together, Bully Ray put Bobby Roode through a table. So once they gave that away right at the very beginning, I don't even know what I'm supposed to care about here. I've already seen it. I've seen both guys put each other through tables. So what's the point of this tables match?
I don't have a good answer for you there either. Although one thing you can say about Bully Ray and Bobby Roode is, even though the stipulations are stupid, even though the circumstances surrounding the match are completely ridiculous, they're at least going to give you your money's worth in all likelihood. Hopefully there will be a decent finish out of the deal, which with TNA is always a roll of the dice. But at least you know, out of all of these matches as we run through them, at least this one's going to give us something.
I do expect this to be a pretty good match. In fact, looking at the card, this probably will be the best match on the show now that I... Actually, you know what? James Storm and Gunner is probably going to be really good as well. Bully Ray and Bobby Roode, I mean, just, you know, I don't know why I should care about who wins. Like, a lot of these matches, I mean, who cares who wins? What is being built towards? Why do they matter? I don't have an answer to these questions, which suggests to me that not a lot of people are going to buy this pay-per-view. But maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm in the minority, but they're having a tables match. James Storm and Gunner having an I Quit match. I think they've had about 1,000 matches. The good news is they're almost always good. The bad news is, again, I don't know why I should care about this. I believe that I've seen Gunner decisively beat James Storm before. I know James Storm has beaten Gunner. I know James Storm beat up Gunner's dad, but that was like a month ago. And I think they wrestled at the last big TV special, if I recall correctly. I have no idea why I should care about this match.
And good guys shouldn't lose this. You shouldn't lose an I Quit match if you're a good guy, unless there's some sort of chicanery going on, like The Rock and Mick Foley or something like that. So I would figure, realistically, the outcome of this is not in doubt either. I mean, the only way I guess it would be is if Gunner is knocked out or bleeds out or something like that, which I can't see happening. So yeah, I think Gunner wins, and it should be a good match. But as you're saying, you know, does it really, what matters? And what matters coming out of it?
We have got Kurt Angle and Willow against Ethan Carter III and Rockstar Spud in a tag team match.
This could be the most entertaining match in some ways on there.
I guess so. I don't know. I just don't know. I've lost my mind. I'm looking at
we deserve this for starting the
show.
Why is
Ethan Carter III teaming with Rockstar Spud?
Because they're hilarious together.
I know they're like a buddy-buddy group, but Rockstar Spud has no credibility in the ring whatsoever. Why is Ethan Carter III teaming with this guy? It would be like if I had a match coming up and I decided I was going to team with my cat. Why would I do this? What is on the line here?
if you're Ethan Carter III, you've had everything handed to you. You've had all of your wins given to you against, you know, guys who shouldn't be there. So it would make sense, because he is such a goof and loves his Aunt Dixie so much, that he would just go along with the fact that Rockstar Spud is the kind of guy I want to hang around and we can do something here.
All I know is that Willow keeps hitting Spud with an umbrella. Kurt Angle and Ethan Carter III had an issue about 2 months ago. I guess it's still ongoing. $45
umbrella, too. Note that.
Kurt Angle killed Rockstar Spud the last time they were in the ring together. I just have no idea why anybody would care about any of this. I mean, there may be some entertainment value. I'm sure there will be. But I'm at a loss. We've got Sonata and Tigre Uno in match 3 of the best of 3 for the X Division title. Should be a good match. I've seen them wrestle twice. The title's on the line. I actually kind of care about this match because they've done a decent job on television making me think that Sonata is a really nice guy and he deserves to be the champion and he's representing his country and he does not want to let down the great Muda. I actually care about Sonata more than any other single person on this entire show. So hopefully this is good and he retains.
I hope so, too. And I think that the quality of the match probably relies a little bit more on Tigre Uno than it does on Sonata. But again, I just hope it's actually just a good match. I know that this is the match 3 of the best of 3. But Sonata, I like a lot. I really do like him a lot. And they've actually done a halfway decent job kind of letting people know who he is if you are a watcher of their TV show, which... You know, there's a million people who are, and unfortunately, that number won't be ordering tonight.
We've got Mr. Anderson and Sam Shaw in a committed match. What is a committed match, you ask? The loser will be committed. They will be sent to a mental institution. I'm not making this up. I got a lot to say. We're going to talk about it after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Phones are ringing off the hook, Mike. I think we should pause our TNA preview and see what people have on their mind.
So no.
Yeah, if you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. And of course, as soon as I mentioned that, they hung up. So, back to the preview. This committed
match.
What a
cool rib that was.
This committed match. I know. So these guys signed a contract where if they lose a wrestling match, they're put in a mental institution. Really?
Didn't they do this in WCW?
I believe so.
Where Ric Flair was crazy, and then he, instead of double A, he had triple A, and Scott Hall was driving the bus, and it was just one flew over the cuckoo's nest sort of thing.
This stipulation sucks. I'll bet you anything that Mr. Anderson loses so they can do comedy segments. Comedy. Of him in a mental institution. I'll bet you anything this happens.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. After, you know, the little bit of TNA I've seen, I saw the whole Ken Anderson goes to Samuel Shaw's house, childhood home. And that just screamed that, okay, that's exactly what this is going to be. And now the all of TNA will be unchecked while Mr. Anderson is tied up in the mental institution. How is anyone going to stop the craziness that is Sam Shaw?
All right, now the phones are ringing. Let's go to them. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
What's up, Chris?
Not much. What's the Todd's odds that the Ring of Honor pay-per-view in June draws more buys than tonight's Sacrifice pay-per-view? I'd say Todd's odds pretty good.
I think you... Man, that's a good question.
Chris.
You think ROH is going to outdraw TNA?
I think it really is legitimately possible that happens, at least if only one time for the hype and the buzz and the excitement of the, I think the ROH fan base is kind of coming back a little bit. And I think I'm not saying they're super galvanized like they were when the Briscoes were facing off against the Kings of Wrestling like that a couple of years ago, where it seemed to be at a fever pitch. But I think by the time this pay-per-view goes off, it may only be one time that it happens. but I think it happens one time, which will be so much more embarrassing for TNA, considering that a million people are supposed to be watching that show, or really are watching that show a week, and that you can't separate them from 10,000 of it, let alone, you know, anything more than that. 5,000 of them.
The only reason I think that it is possible that TNA is going to outdraw Ring of Honor is that TNA has a built-in audience of hardcore pay-per-view buyers who have been buying nonstop for like 12 years. That's the only reason. Like they've got TV on Spike, which trumps ROH's television outlet, even though in a lot of markets ROH TV actually does very well. And I just feel that because they've got the built-in audience and they've got a better TV slot, they'll probably do a little better. But I do think if ROH doesn't beat them, I do think it's going to be pretty close.
Yeah, well, I think to speak to that, I think Ring of Honor has a much bigger hardcore audience, and I think they'll end up buying that pay-per-view in greater numbers than the TNA hardcore audience.
They certainly have a more passionate one. They certainly have one that would separate themselves more as far as merchandise, even though they may bitch and moan and whine more. And I'm not bashing the fans. I'm just saying, even though they may throw more negativity sometimes and be more vocal about that negativity, they're also more apt to spend their dollars. And, you know, and even if they don't outdraw them, if Ring of Honor has 2,500 people, and Impact with it at its outlet only gets 3,500 people to buy their pay-per-view. I'm sorry. When you scale that, that's better for, you know, that's far more of a win for Ring of Honor.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. I will say that I don't know if this show is going to drop below 7,000. Maybe it will, but I just think these 7,000 buyers are just going to buy every pay-per-view no matter what. And they're probably going to like it. And with Ring of Honor, I think the most they ever drew on iPay-per-view was 2,500. And granted, that was iPay-per-view. But I guess another thing you have to consider is that when each company runs house shows, they do similar numbers. Sometimes Ring of Honor does a little more. Sometimes TNA does. It really depends on the market and the size of the show. But if you consider that, when you say that they're a more hardcore buying audience, I mean, I don't really know if that's the case, just based on, I know that at those TNA house shows, they may only draw like 500 people, but they sell a lot of merchandise at those shows. And Ring of Honor is not doing like, you know, triple the house show business. It's very similar. So maybe I would think that if they're on traditional pay-per-view and it's easier to order, and I know that some people still have an aversion to buying iPay-per-views, that if you put Ring of Honor on a regular pay-per-view, maybe they will do 6,000-7,000. Maybe it will be similar, if not better, than this TNA Sacrifice show. I mean, honest to God, this Sacrifice show should set a record. Who could possibly want to see this show? It's astonishing to me. You know, WWE has Extreme Rules coming up, and they've got a main event, and it's Evolution versus The Shield. And we can talk about that particular match for like 10 minutes, because there's a million different ways they could go. Where could they go? Sometimes I hear people say, well, what's the direction? And I'm kind of like, direction? You know, I don't know if I really... But really, in WWE, you can think of a million different directions they can go. When I look at this TNA card and I think about it as a possible direction, I have absolutely no idea what's going on. I have no idea where anybody's going to go after anything. The only match that seems to have a direction is probably if Madison Rain beats Angelina, she'll face Velvet next. That's literally the only thing on this show where I can see, man, here is a possible direction. Everything else is just a directionless mess.
And it's, you know, again with this, and that's, I think that's the part for me that, and I'm not pissed off. I shouldn't say that. I'm peeved and angry as a wrestling fan, but you know what? It's not my money. But it is frustrating as a wrestling fan and liking a lot of people that are there. And, you know, for all of the contraction that they had and having to get rid of guys and save money and cut money and things like that, you know, with what they did with Magnus in England, if they would have actually just done, you know, been intelligent about things, I mean, we should be talking about a Magnus Gunner match right now, or we should be talking about, you know, I don't know, Sonata against somebody, or just, I don't know what, but not this garbage that they're throwing out there. I mean, and it's not like it's going to end anytime soon either. I mean, this, I don't know who, I don't know who gets that much entertainment value out of watching the TNA show. It's like people tune in because they're in the habit of tuning in. But then, you know, by the time the show ends, their ratings stink. There's no buzz to this whatsoever. It doesn't seem to. And I guess the biggest problem is no matter what they do, I guess it really doesn't matter anyway. Because it's just the, you know, the same people, like you were saying, they are in the habit of they're going to watch or they're going to buy. But then that's it. I don't know. Eric Young and Magnus is absolutely ridiculous. And you look at some of the few guys they have. Ethan Carter was a blank page coming in there. Whether you like Derek Bateman or whatever his name is or not, he was at least a blank page coming in, and they ruined it. You know, Gunnar, I mean, not that Gunnar James Storm has anything wrong with it, but it has been going on now for way, way too long, especially when they need young guys to be in the mix on top or as many guys as they can with something fresh and new. And they've ruined that. I mean, it's just amazing. James Storm was untouched a couple years ago, and he was the one guy that had been there from the start. They screwed him up. They've screwed up Magnus. They've screwed up everything. And again, that's one of the other reasons why. Why does anyone care? What is the reason? You know, who cares what comes out of this? Who cares what they do at all?
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
I got two questions. Number one, has AJ already gotten her rematch against Paige, or will she not be getting one?
AJ?
Yeah.
AJ is taking a leave of absence, and no one knows when she will be back.
Well, I'd hate for her to, you know, be out of the WWE. I mean, you know, some people liked her and didn't, but I always thought she's right interesting myself.
Well, she may be, I'm sure she'll be back at some point, but she's CM Punk's girlfriend.
And oh, okay. Oh, I got you now.
She's on hiatus. She's, I don't know what her idea is.
Now, the number two is something. I know several good indie women workers in the Tennessee area, and they're all asking me, where do I try out for Global Force? And I cannot tell them for the life of me, how do you get in touch with Jarrett and them to try out?
I tell them to just hold on for a while.
Okay, just hold on. But you know what? You know, once it gets out to having tryouts, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon.
Well, hey, they may already be in the database, so there's no hurry.
Okie dokie.
I don't think there's another big announcement coming from Jared for probably another few months. So they're still months and months away from starting. So
okay.
More info.
I would say with Jarrett's relationships, when it comes to anybody, if they're in Georgia or Tennessee or Kentucky or something like that, I bet you they're going to be on their radar.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you one other thing. Did you know that they're going to have another Knockouts pay-per-view in September?
If they're going to have another Knockouts pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm. They are. I've seen it.
They are going to have one.
Yeah.
You may be the only one excited, Jim.
No, I just...
You're the only one that cares.
Well, it's just up against a Women's Superstars Uncensored WSU pay-per-view.
It's you and Ed.
Hey, Jim, do you even care tonight about Madison Rain and Angelina Love?
I'm not going to, because I like the way.
All right, actually, hey, Jim, we got to head to a break, but I do appreciate the call. We'll be back in just a moment, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network. We're up in the cable radio network as well. And we got three shows coming up today. This obviously is the first one. Later on this evening, immediately following the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view, Dave Meltzer and I will be up live at WrestlingObserver.com with an immediate TNA Sacrifice post-show. And then later on in the evening, I'll be back with Vinny. We've got SmackDown. We've got Ring of Honor. We've got Total Divas. A lot of stuff to talk about. That is all tonight. WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. I've said it a million times. If you love this show and you only get to hear Wrestling Observer Live once per week, you are missing out. Daily live radio shows every single day for subscribers. I do two shows a day on average, And if you sign up, not only do you get full download on-demand access to all of these shows after they wrap up, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives. It's $10.99 a month. If you sign up, you can jump up there, jump into the archive, get everything. You can set it to podcast to your mobile device, meaning when you wake up in the morning, brand new shows are loaded up and ready to go on your device. Jump in the car, listen to the shows on the way to work, on the way home from work, whenever you've got stuff to listen to, you'll be able to do that. We've also got something interesting up right now. If you go to WrestlingObserver.com or F4WLive.com, our 24/7 live streaming radio broadcast. It's going 24/7 all the time at WrestlingObserver.com. Now, normally, we do about 12 to 15 shows a week. Usually, about two of those are free for everybody. What I've done is I've taken every free show since December 2013, and they are all playing nonstop, one after another, 24/7 on F4WLive.com. Our F4W Live Radio 24/7 stream. So head up there and check that out. It's very interesting. Every now and then I turn it on just to hear what's playing. And sometimes we'll like be doing a preview for WrestleMania. And I'll be sitting here asking Mike what the chances are of Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker. And we all laugh and scoff. Ha ha ha! That'll never happen! And then in hindsight, it's pretty funny. So all of those shows, over 40 hours, are up and playing for free right now at F4WLive.com, which is linked up on WrestlingObserver.com. And you can also get the F4W Live stream on TuneIn Radio. If you've got the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, search Wrestling Observer or F4W Live. In fact, there is a link up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now. You can check it out and put it on your TuneIn Radio app. Mark it as a favorite, and you'll always be able to hear these free shows. And again, for more, sign up today at WrestlingObserver.com. You will never run out of audio, and you'll get all of the new stuff immediately after we wrap up. Now, we're here talking this TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view. Sacrifice goes on the air moments after we go off the air. The only match we have not talked about yet is the Bromans versus the Wolves. What's so funny? Just the idea that this match is taking place.
Well, Davey Richards' hair.
The build for this match has just infuriated me. I mean, all it is Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards keep facing the Bromans, and we keep getting a bad finish. But the matches are never long. There's never any sort of real heat when we get a bad finish. It's just like short matches, no finish, and this is going to lead to a handicap match for the titles, which might mean something if not for the fact that the Wolves, they did a promo recently saying, we came here for two reasons, to get Dixie Carter out of power and to win the TNA tag team titles. I don't know if any of you listening are keeping track, but right now, Dixie Carter in storyline is out of power, and these guys already won the tag team titles like a month ago. So, I don't even know why they're still in TNA at this point, based on their own...
Does it really mean anything if they beat DJZ, which is the screaming, bright, blinking thing here that they're going to do, and they can't even beat Robbie E and Jesse Goddard's, which they have actually already done for the titles?
Does it matter who has the titles anyway? They've made all of this so unimportant. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Oh, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
While we were trying to locate you.
Man, that guy, that was double fail. 855.
Much like TNA's pay-per-view tonight.
That's right. 855-478-4478. If you just tried to call, give it another shot and we will grab you this time. We were too busy ranting about the Bromans and the American Wolves and the pointless tag team titles. There's no title in TNA right now that means anything. As far as I know, Abyss is still the TV champion. You aware of that?
I didn't know that, actually.
I'm almost positive that Abyss is the... And Abyss isn't even on this show!
You know, I hate to say, you know who the last TV champion I remember is? D-Von.
I believe that Abyss beat D-Von.
That's, you know, I would have lost that bet. I wouldn't even remember that.
Let's find out who the current champion is.
Are there any other tag teams in TNA, by the way, as you're looking for that, besides the Bromans and the Wolves?
Are there other teams?
Yes. Does EC3 and Spud count as a team?
Yes, he is the current TNA television champion. For those of you wondering. Let's go to the phones. This guy's trying again. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Richard from Montreal.
Oh, Richard, what's up?
Has Kurt Angle signed a deal with TNA, or is he still?
He is still under contract, and as best I could tell, he has not yet signed a renewal.
Okay.
And it may not even matter anyway. Go ahead.
Why is that? Why is that?
Well, they have not signed a television renewal yet, and their television deal is up in September. And if they don't have a television deal and they don't have television, I don't expect them to survive.
Yes.
It's a bad state.
Can you? Yeah, exactly. Why do they keep booking him against, like, the biggest jokes in the company?
I don't know. I wish I could answer any of your TNA-related questions, but I watched the show and I have no answers for anything.
I think just because he can, you know, he can at least, he can handle it. You know,
he'll
doesn't
have
a need
good
a
match.
Belt.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Do you guys expect him to go to New Japan?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Mike, what do you see as the future of Kurt Angle if he does not re-sign with TNA? I know he wants to go to WWE, but I don't think he can pass the physical. I do know, I can tell you this. I know that there are people in WWE that think when his TNA deal is up, he'll go to WWE and work as a trainer in developmental. But New Japan, what do you think, Mike?
Obviously the problem I have with this is just the fact that Kurt Angle is like a Fabergé egg to me, where, I mean, he doesn't believe himself to be that way, but it's like, you know, he's just so fragile, and he's at a point where I just don't, him wrestling in New Japan on a tour, great. Him having an AJ Styles kind of schedule, whether he's there for, you know, and I just think that would be a bad idea. I think him coming in to work for Muda or do something like that, I think is fine, but I think him in Japan at this point is not going to be anything good for his body at all. I think the best move for him is, you know, going to WWE, and who knows, even if he is able to go to WWE as a trainer, if he can't still go to Japan every once in a while to make an appearance or do something. And I guess he's another one too, where because of WWE's situation with him, you know, if he doesn't go as a trainer, he's probably not going to go at all. He's not going to go as a regular wrestler. I think that's, you know, there's a minus, you know, 1% chance of that happening. So Jeff Jarrett, you know, will he wait it out and go with him or
actually,
do something like that?
That's a good possibility. Him and Jarrett are on good terms, believe it or not.
And it gives him a chance to go to Mexico. It gives him a chance to go to Japan to supplement his income. That would probably be, no matter what, the best way to go. I just think him as anything other than a one-off special occasion in New Japan just makes me cringe. In a lot of ways, I would love it because he can work with everyone there. Can you imagine 40 minutes of a Noah title match between Angle and Nagata? It would be great. It's just that I just don't necessarily need to see him keep going that hard to that level more than once a quarter.
All right, Richard, I want to thank you so much for calling in today. The phone number, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. We are on the air live right now. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy?
You just kind of threw off my first question, which was talking about Kurt Angle. I was thinking, you know, unless he wants to, like you said, punish his body in Japan or, you know, I think he's going to be with TNA until they fold, but I didn't think he'd go to Jarrett's promotion. I would expect them to be on good terms, considering their past.
Actually, they're on very good terms, despite Jarrett now being married to Kurt's ex-wife.
Yes, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but neither does a lot in professional wrestling, I guess.
Well, you got to realize, you got to remember that Kurt is now remarried, and apparently he loves his new wife, and things didn't work out with his old wife. So they probably put that under the bridge, and him and Jarrett are, I don't know. I don't think it's out of the question that this could be possible. I mean, it's what it is.
I guess you're right. People have made up over worse. My other question,
they had a feud with each other. I mean, dollars are dollars, and they, you know, again, they both have had lives for a while. I mean, Kurt Angle, who was the, was it Rock Khan or whoever it was that he was going, it's not like he hasn't been with other people. The Jarrett and Angle thing has happened, but they've also worked a feud that based themselves around the situation. I mean, jobs are jobs and money is money.
That's true. Although I don't think you'd ever see someone like Nails back in WWE, but that's a different story. I had one other favor to ask, Brian. If ROH actually beats TNA in the pay-per-view buys for their first pay-per-view, can you just stop covering TNA? I actually like the TNA coverage. I just don't think they deserve it anymore.
I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't know. I think I will have to continue. As long as a show has national television, it's got to be covered. Even if Dave has done, I don't know exactly how he does the analysis, but based on the interest level in TNA and comparing that to the amount of words that he writes in the Observer about TNA, TNA is drastically overcovered in the Observer. He's said this, but it's hard not to cover it since it should be number two. You would just never know from watching it.
And again, I mean, even though, I mean, they don't pay for anything, it's still a million viewers a week. And for whatever reason it is, that's just the way it is.
There are a million people or more that watch this show every single week. Which is amazing because they don't actually pay for it for the most part.
You know, if each one of those people bought a Willow umbrella, that would be, what, $45 million? Actually, I can't do math. How much money is that? $45,000? I don't know.
I'm just thinking about if I had 1.2 million people that were, like, listening to this show every week, I don't think I'd do. But if I did, I don't know. I'd be making a lot more money than I'm making right now. And I'm pretty sure that the website is probably grossing more money than TNA is at the moment. In fact, I'd be pretty certain about it. So I don't understand the inability to convert all of these viewers into people paying for your product. I mean, it's kind of astonishing. When you think about a million, like 1.2 million people watching your television show, and only 5,000 of them are going to buy your pay-per-view, it's like, man, how do you go that wrong? It's incredible. But it's going to happen tonight, everybody. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for 2 hours every Sunday. We still got another hour to go, and it is our countdown to the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view. That's right. Coming up in about 1 hour exactly, the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view is going to go on the air. Eric Young defending the honor of Animal Planet in the main event as he takes on Magnus in a World Heavyweight Championship match. That is the main event of the show. And Mike, I don't know if you watched Impact on Thursday, but as Impact was going off the air, they had this amazing final moment where instead of saying at the end of the last television show before the pay-per-view, instead of saying like, this is what you will see on the pay-per-view Sunday, here is a preview for Sunday's pay-per-view. That's what you'd want to do as a promoter. But instead, as the show went off the air, it said, here's what you're going to see on next week's free television show. Results of what happened Sunday. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You're using the final moments of your free television show to not plug your pay-per-view Sunday, but rather to plug next Thursday's show where you can find out what happened if you didn't get the pay-per-view. My mind was blown. Boggled.
They've both been accused of it, but TNA being the absolute worst, that they have booked their pay-per-views throughout their history to build towards the TV show, which, hey, it's a ridiculous thing. WWE is one thing, TNA completely different because they needed that money, and they continue to do it now.
Needed that money. We're going to head to a break. Reminded me of the everyone's favorite Hood Justice pay-per-view. Anyway, back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. If you've got the Sirius Satellite Radio app on your phone, search for Sports Zone, and there we are every Sunday. Also, of course, the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, so many different ways to listen to the show. Phones, for some reason, are ringing off the hook during the hourly break, so let's see what this person's interested in. You are on... Nope. Watch this. You on the air.
The caller hung up.
I cursed myself! It rang the entire time during the break. Finally came back on the air.
I want everyone to call in with their favorite Baltimore Arena memories.
Their favorite Baltimore Arena memories?
Yes.
I guess we can do that.
I went back to the Baltimore Arena last night for the first time, and I don't know how long. It's been a long, long time, and it was awesome. And it reminded me, because it is such an old hole, you know, of all of these memories being rushed back because the place hasn't changed in years.
Todd Martin said the same thing on Thursday, and I just think you're both crazy. I mean, I guess if you're a sports fan and you just go to the same place over and over again, it's one thing, but like, I don't know. I wrestled in a lot of buildings, like the Temple Theater, over and over again. I have no special feelings toward this building. It's a building. You know what I mean? Like, I remember, like, events. I have great memories of the events there, but the building itself is just four walls and a ceiling. In the case of the Temple Theater, maybe three walls. I'm not entirely sure. But, yeah. Phone lines are going to be open after the next break, everybody. I know they're ringing off the hook again already. Probably that same person that hung up right before I picked up. But we can't go to them right now because we're about to go to a break. But we will pick them up when we come back. And got a lot of stuff to talk about. Raw is tomorrow. We got to talk about that show, the return of Ric Flair. We'll talk about UFC 172. Hey, if you got memories of the Baltimore Arena, Mike wants to hear about him. What are your memories of this building? Tell us about it here on the air, everybody. And we shall be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And they just started calling. Much better timing this time. Let's give this a shot. You are on the show. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian Alvarez. This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas. How are you, sir?
Danny, what's going on, my man?
Good. I just have two quick points. With the news of TNA signing with the United Talent Agency,
yeah,
trying to get like a TV contract. But this is my idea. So idea one of my friends had, I'm going to steal it and call it my own. But if you look at some of their client lists, like what's Lewis, they have like a Johnny Depp, or like all these people have like movies that are coming out like not too long from now. They can have almost like how Raw did the guest host, and like say like. Like so and so next week, Mark Ruffalo from the Avengers, or one of these celebrities trying to boost their ratings during like the summer period when Spike is probably looking at the ratings if they want to renew them or not. So that's probably one of the ways that they can utilize if they're able to like use some of these celebrities that UTA is associated with to try to try the same thing of what WWE did with the guest host. Kind of have more eyeballs on the screen.
It's possible. I have a hard time imagining in my head Johnny Depp showing up on Impact. You know what I mean? Like, right. I think that if you look at the shows that a lot of celebrities appear on, I mean, I think they're still doing better numbers than 1 million viewers a week. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's part of this whole thing. I would expect that maybe you'll see more things like Eric Young on Animal Planet and kind of more stuff like that as opposed to like big time stars showing up on Impact. But I guess it's possible. What do you think, Mike?
They can't even get the athletes though, who would do it for free and who would, you know what I mean? Who would just be happy to be there and love to be on TV and things like that. Much less those, again, what does it benefit the other actor to be there if they're not getting paid? And if TNA's got to come off of any money whatsoever, I mean, they just don't have it to do. If Johnny Depp, somehow you could swing something with him, it's almost a no-brainer, because if you get the biggest actors and the biggest A-list you can, then you have to kind of roll the dice to get eyeballs and attention. But, you know, anybody that they get, does it really make a difference? Does it really matter?
I don't know.
You still have to deliver outside of that. And with the product that they have, you can have, the president, the Pope, and, a million other people there. If you don't give them a reason to turn in the next week when that person's not there, is it money well spent?
Yeah, I don't know what the UTA, I don't know what that all entails. But in everything that I've heard and read about it so far, I don't know if it's going to involve stars showing up on Impact. I guess it's possible. The only problem is, again, you start to look again like a WWE ripoff. Oh, wow, Impact's got guest hosts now. I saw the same thing on Raw. It's possible. I guess we'll see. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Matt from Pittsburgh.
Matt, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Not too much.
Hey,
what's on your mind?
I was watching the Roddy Piper You Shoot Timeline 1984, and he basically, when all those old promoters ran as Pro Wrestling USA, he basically hinted that somebody was sent down from New York to sabotage the deal, and it's somebody who's still working in the office to this day, but they wouldn't give a name. I was wondering if you guys would know who that possibly may be.
Mike?
I watched the You Shoot, and that was one of the things that drove me nuts was he wrote it down on a piece of paper, showed it to Sean Oliver, and didn't actually say who it was, which is one of the more disappointing parts of that DVD because, you know, those timelines are really, really good. They had Bruno Sammartino do the 60s. They've had Don Morocco do 83. They had Zbyszko do 80. And they take, for those who are unaware, they take like WWF 1980, and they'll bring somebody in and they'll go through the work that Graham Cawthon has did on the history of WWF or WWE.com website. And they go through high points throughout the year, and the person sits there and talks about their feelings on it, and they kind of weave a story together. Roddy Piper's not a story-weaving kind of guy, unfortunately, so it's a little tough. And he also pulls back on a couple things, which one of them was that. And I don't know. I openly asked it in our forum on the website if anybody knew. I think somebody threw out there like Howard Finkel or something like that. I don't believe that for a minute. But Roddy Piper's story is that, you know, when they were trying to figure this out in 1984 to run New York and run some WWF markets in, you know, grouping together Jim Crockett Promotions, Vern Gagne in the AWA, Jerry Jarrett in Memphis, Mike Graham in Florida, whoever was there at the time, Eddie Graham. They were all going to work together and run the WWF markets, including the Meadowlands, using guys like Ivan Koloff and Stan Hansen, Superstar Graham, Super Destroyer or Mass Superstar, guys who the WWF market would know, as well as their own guys like Rick Martel, the Road Warriors, and some of the other younger guys coming up. That, of course, obviously all imploded. And one of the reasons that it did was, according to Roddy Piper, they just had to hire people because they were trying to pull this off really quick and gather up as many bodies as they could to try to compete with the WWF. And Vince McMahon set a mole. And I don't know who it is. I don't know. Hopefully, Ryan, if you think about it next time you talk to Dave, if you're doing it tonight after
actually,
the TNA show.
We're doing a lot of questions tonight. So if you send the email to mailbag@wrestlingobserver.com, I'll try to answer it.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good night.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I have no idea. I could probably try to find out, but I don't know if I'd get an answer. Let's go to the phones.
And, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, too, for, you know, those who don't, that would not have mattered anyway, no matter who the WWF could have sent in there to try to screw things up. The way those promoters were trying to work with each other, they were the real cause of the thing imploding relatively quickly and just basically leaving the AWA with a New York TV outlet for many years.
All right, to the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Jordan in New York City.
Jordan, what's up?
I got a few questions for you. First of all, wanted to say you guys are real tough for dealing with TNA all day. I don't know how you're going to do it, but have a good time. Question about the network and how you're promoting yourself as a good companion piece for the network, which I totally agree with. Just have a question. If you have any anything in store for the website, any updates coming, like, for instance, today I was watching Quebecers and the Bulldogs from SummerSlam 88, and I thought, oh, you know, I read an article one time about the backstage drama between the two teams. And I tried to search it on the website. It was a little difficult to pull up exactly what I wanted. I was just curious if you had anything in store to improve the accessibility of old stories from the website.
Well, we are working on a full redesign, but I'm the wrong guy to ask. The tech guy is working on that. And I mean, search is high on the list. I think that some people, I mean, I'm not blaming it on people because it's not exactly, we don't have the easiest search function, but I think that when you go to the search function, you can actually specify it, I think, a lot better than some people do when you do the keyword, like whenever I'm looking for something on there, when I put in the keyword, I make sure to put in like, make sure you put in newsletters, make sure you put the category as The Observer, and it will narrow it down a lot if you search that way. But it may also be that we don't have any stories on that. So that's also the potential issue.
Okay.
But yeah, we got things in the works, but I'm not sure when it's going to be done. We got new mobile sites, hopefully, I think we're working on an app. We're going to do an iPhone and hopefully an Android app as well. So we are working on things, but I don't know the exact process and how long it's going to take.
Okay, well, thanks. I look forward to it.
All right, thanks so much for the call. We could have a much better search function on the site. Hey, listen, there's a lot of things on the website that could be better, but it takes a while.
You know, the great part about the site is, though, if you think about it, the amount of observers, you know, you put up one back issue a week of all the observers over the years. It's like, you know what? There's so much good stuff up there right now. And it hasn't even, the surface hasn't even been scratched yet on the amount of stuff that is going to end up there and is actually added, you know, every week and every day.
It is. We have quite the archive. And I'll actually talk more about searching when we come back from the break, because I have another suggestion. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Semper, Vivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Phones are ringing off the hook. We're going to take some of these calls, and then I'm going to talk more about searching the website. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Taylor from Indiana.
Taylor, what's up?
I just wanted to get your and Mike's opinion on when and where Brock Lesnar's next match should be.
I think SummerSlam Daniel Bryan. What do you think, Mike?
I like that a lot, actually. Yeah. You know, holding him off for that long, I think would be, you know, again, I don't know how his contract structure, how it is with dates, if any more have been added or any of that sort of stuff. So, you know, when it comes to him and, you know, Paul Heyman being just a complete and utter prep for 6 months of him just over and over, my client Brock Lesnar, it'll be nuclear when he comes back. And LA seems to be, again, LA and SummerSlam, that being the next big show, seems to be pretty perfect for that. It also, by the way, I'll just throw this out there, seems to be perfect for Randy Orton to go back to, I would assume, being a good guy around that time as well too, since he always gets a great reaction actually in Los Angeles. And I can't for see him being he's been the Triple H lackey thing for a while. I think that we're going to go through the Shield and Evolution and all that sort of stuff, but I think by that point it may be a good idea to actually flip him back over again. It would be a perfect time to do it.
I'm pretty sure that Brock has 24 dates a year, and I don't know if they start at WrestleMania or after WrestleMania. I mean, with 24 dates, if he's only coming in for TV and pay-per-view, I mean, you could do 4 weeks leading up to... He's already done one, because he was the day that after WrestleMania. So you could do 4 dates leading up to SummerSlam. That's 19 left. Wins a title. And then, if you had 2 months after that, that would still leave 11 weeks left. If he held the title for 2 months before losing it to somebody, it'd still be 11 weeks leading up to WrestleMania. You could do it. And they could always sign him to more dates in the interim as well. So I'd vote SummerSlam and Daniel Bryan.
So you think they're going to keep Bryan strong until SummerSlam?
I hope so. You seem skeptical.
Well, yeah.
I
talked about how there's people in the company who don't think he should be champion. So I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. Your connection is horrible, but... yeah, I think they're going to keep him strong for a little while. If by people in the company that don't think he should be champion, you're talking about Vince McMahon. I know Vince loves Daniel Bryan. I don't think that Daniel Bryan is Vince McMahon's first pick for long-term champion. I know there are a lot of people that are big Daniel Bryan supporters. At the end of the day, with all pay-per-views now being on the WWE Network, it really doesn't matter who your champion is. I mean, it does to a degree. But things aren't going to collapse because Daniel Bryan is champion through SummerSlam. So I expect him to have a run for a while. Maybe Kane will beat him Sunday and I'm completely out of my mind, but I don't think that's where they're going.
No, that's it's who do they replace? I mean, obviously, I know everybody's fear in the back of their mind is John Cena, but why would they not? And again, because of what you're saying with the network and everything else, and it's just who, if it's not Daniel Bryan, who is it going to be? and who is selling merchandise and all those sorts of things that are actually very important to Vince McMahon, and who is he making money with. So I think, yeah, Kane is not the first great choice, and I know people are upset about that. I know there's Rey Mysterio and other people floating around in the back of their minds, and the fact that Daniel Bryan, it was hard to get to this point, you know? And so I understand their cynicism, but I can't foresee them. Again, there's no burial of Daniel Bryan that's going to happen. Even if he loses the title or something like that, he is going to be in the top 2 to 3 matches on, you know, and probably the top match on almost all of the shows throughout summertime, and probably well after that into the fall. And as we go forward here too, Daniel Bryan is just that good. And again, even if he's not in the upper echelon, even when he's not the world champion, because at some point he won't be down the line, he's still going to be a very, very valuable guy for them.
Who in God's name is this Angelo Dawkins? Is that his name? On NXT? Have you seen this guy?
I don't think I have. Angelo Dawkins?
I believe that's his name. Now I'm going to have to rewind or I'm going to screw this up. Looks like it's his debut. He's about to face Tyler Breeze here. But he's got a wacky gimmick. And
gotta flip this on.
Yeah, there he is right there. What's the name they give this guy? Pretty sure they said he was Angelo Dawkins. Let's find out if did I just make that up? Hold on 1 second.
It's a very NXT style name.
I just NXT is now getting to the point where does every single person have to have a wacky gimmick? Can we have a few guys that don't have a goofy gimmick for once? He's got a backpack. He's doing a dance. Of course, I rewound too far and didn't get his name. Anyway, we'll find out what it is here in just a second. I wanted to mention that in terms of searching, one of the things I've done on our website in terms of searching was, for example, when Billy Robinson passed away, Dave emailed and he was looking for the Billy Robinson Wrestling Observer Radio. He didn't know where to find it. And so I actually found it I went on Google and I Googled Billy Robinson Wrestling Observer, and the show was the first thing that came up. And I clicked on that. It took me to the website and there was a show. So that's another way you might want to try and do it for at least some of the audio shows. All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Shane from Orange County.
Shane, what's up?
Hey, I think you guys are taking this whole TNA not having a TV deal thing in the wrong direction. I think this is them taking it to the next level, brother.
Oh, yeah?
I think they're going to do something completely original here. They're going to make a TNA network.
Now,
hear me out here. They're going to have a great show that never has been thought of before. It's going to be called Icon's House.
Wow.
Now what you're going to do is you're going to have Mike Tenay. You're going to have all kinds of, you know, TNA icons, because they don't have legends. They have icons in one house. Here's the swerve, though. Vince Russo is going to be cooking dinner. So you're constantly going to be wondering, is dinner going to be ready?
Well, I'm still wondering about that on Legends House. Sounds like you're completely stealing the concept. I'm still wondering if Pat Patterson made all of those, what was he making?
I have to call Granny and ask, but I think it was cabbage rolls.
Cabbage rolls. Angelo Dawkins, by the way. Sorry to interrupt. You know, I got to say one thing about your idea. When we were, during one of the breaks, producer Scott asked me how much of the TNA pay-per-view was, and I said, $34.95. And so we got into a little discussion about why people would get the show. So anyway, during the hourly break, I went downstairs because I have to order the show, and it's $44.95. So the point of this is, I would be so happy if TNA created a network, and for $9.99 a month, I could just get everything I need and not have to pay $44.95 for 1 3-hour pay-per-view that I'm going to delete 3 hours and 1 minute later. I'd love if they had a network. I wish everybody had a network. It would save me a lot of money.
Hey, see, TNA knows exactly what you're thinking because WWE thought it like 3 years ago, so it's current in their mind, and there you go.
Hey, I want to thank you very much for the call. An excellent idea. An excellent idea. This Dawkins fellow already done got beat.
Supposedly here, this Dawkins guy won 3 national titles in 3 different sports, football, wrestling, and track. And I'm looking at a picture of him right now, I guess a publicity shot with him with an AD hat to the side, a pair of really nerdy glasses on, headphones, and what looks to be an orange or yeah, I guess an orange and black flannel shirt. With a backpack.
That's what he came to the ring in. Rewind a little bit. All right, to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Beat it, nerd.
Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's up?
I was just, when I was listening to last night's Observer Radio, Dave seemed to implicate that Russo is back working with TNA.
He's a consultant.
Okay, because I was curious, because when they signed that deal with Wrestle One, one of the stipulations was they didn't want to work with Russo because of what he'd said about Japanese wrestling in the past.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead.
I don't know for sure. Dave would be better to ask, but I think that Wrestle One didn't want him like working there in the office, and a consultant role, you would never see Vince Russo. He would probably email some ideas back and forth. I don't know how much influence he actually has from watching the show. There are certain segments involving the women that to me sound exactly like Vince Russo's segments, but him and I think Bischoff is a consultant. They got a couple of consultants there. But they're not there in the office writing the TV every day.
Okay. And I just had one other question. When New Japan and ROH do their co-promoted shows in the Northeast, if AJ Styles wins at their next at the New Japan I pay-per-view, he wins the belt, will that match now be changed to AJ Styles versus Kevin Steen, is it?
It's Michael Elgin. But yes, it would be AJ versus Elgin. Unless they decided to do a three-way. I don't know what they would do with Okada. I presume he's still going to work the event. But yeah, that, the title match would be AJ and Elgin.
Okay, thanks. That's all I got.
All right, thanks so much for the call. What do you think of that match, AJ versus Elgin and AJ versus Okada?
I love all of those. You take any combination of those three guys, I love it.
And Elgin,
you
know, Okada?
Oh my God, yeah. Elgin is
Tanahashi
just...
Bennett.
I bet you that'll be better than people think. It's not what I would have went with. But Tanahashi is so good.
Yeah,
Tanahashi.
You know more about Japanese wrestling than me, but tell me if this is not correct. When I heard that match, the first thing I thought was, if you've got one guy on this ROH roster that is a fairly big name who you don't anticipate working a Japanese-style match, it's probably Michael Bennett. And of all of the big stars in New Japan, the one most likely to be able to work a more traditional U.S.-style match that Bennett works, it would be Tanahashi, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Nagata would be, obviously, the guys who wrestled here, even like a Nakanishi, guys like that would actually be very, very good at it. And Nakanishi's condition would prevent him from doing that. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you're not bringing over Nagata and Nakanishi. And Tanahashi is just so good. I mean, if he plays, when he plays subtle, heel, all of the things that you would... You know, that you say, okay, the greatest professional wrestlers in the world and some of the, you know, the greatest of all time, what can they do? They can do it all. And Tanahashi, when you watch him and you watch enough of him, you realize he can actually do it all from, you know, the very subtle.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Amazing.
Right back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Big shout out, everybody, at the American Forces Network, cable radio network as well. And if you only hear this show once a week, you are missing out. Daily radio shows available on our website, WrestlingObserver.com. It is the place to go for all of the news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. As noted, I got two more shows coming up today. Immediately after TNA Sacrifice, I'm going to be up there live with Dave Meltzer breaking down all of the news from the show. I'll be up later on in the evening with Vinny, the Brian and Vinny show, talking Ring of Honor, Total Divas, and SmackDown. And as a subscriber, you get full access not only to all of these brand new shows, but you get full access to every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. Thousands and thousands of hours of audio on demand for you up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can download the shows, listen to them on the way to work. When you come back from work, you'll have brand new wrestling and MMA content every single day. We cover all of the stuff on the WWE Network as well. It's a great compliment to the WWE Network. As low also as $9.99 a month if you sign up for a full year. So head up there and check out WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up. We got a lot of great stuff. Make sure you check out the live audio feed. When we aren't doing live shows, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all of the latest free shows are airing on F4W Live, the radio stream up at WrestlingObserver.com. Check it out. It's available on the TuneIn radio app as well. Just go to WrestlingObserver.com. A million things to check out there, and you'll have a good time. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Gerard in Queens. Got a very simple question for you.
All right.
Can you tell me exactly why TNA continues to run pay-per-view?
They continue to run pay-per-views because they are contractually obligated to do so.
If they're getting 3,000 or 4,000 buyers per pay-per-view, I don't understand why the cable companies don't just break the contract with Total Nonstop Action.
Oh, why doesn't the... Well, you know, they could, but they are still getting a 50% cut of every one of those 4,000 pay-per-views that are purchased. So I don't think they're losing... I don't think the pay-per-view companies are losing money on the deal, but I'm pretty sure that TNA is losing a large amount of money on the deal, which is actually why I want to thank you very much for the call. They had 12 live pay-per-views, and it is significantly more expensive to run a pay-per-view live than to run a taped pay-per-view. And so what they did was they thought, my God, we're contracted for 12 pay-per-views, but it's so expensive to run live. We're losing money. And so what we'll do is we will cut down to 4 live pay-per-views a year. And we will do these one-night-only taped pay-per-views to fulfill our contractual obligations for the other shows. So when we had the caller earlier in the evening, when he asked about the upcoming TNA Knockouts pay-per-view, what they're doing is they're taping pay-per-views, and the pay-per-views don't air for months down the road. So you're getting 4 live pay-per-views, you're getting 8 taped pay-per-views. They're not doing well, but they're fulfilling the contractual obligations. So that is why TNA is still running pay-per-views. Mike, what's going on over on your end?
At the break, New Japan, when it comes to what New Japan wrestler would be best suited to work against an American, Bix brought up Gato, which actually would be a great one. And I'm thinking, you know who else would be good? Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. Do they count?
Well, I don't know if they count, but they would be very good as well. By the way, if you want to contact us on Twitter, the hashtag is F4W Live, or you can contact me at Brian Alvarez, and make sure you follow me on Twitter as well. I send out all sorts of information about when the shows are airing. Mike is at Semper Vivi, and we've actually got a lot of questions here on Twitter. Let's get into a few of them. Sammy wants to know, how accurate do you think the Nielsen ratings are?
I think they give a representation. I've never really liked it, to be honest. I mean, I've met more people now. It used to be, it's like a joke, you know, do you know anybody who is a Nielsen family? And I didn't know any for a long time. A lot of people I know didn't know of any. I've heard about them more and more in about the last 10 years with Arbitron ratings and Nielsen ratings books and things like that. But it's, to me, a lot of it is just some of it's honor system based. You know, a lot of it's honor system based where, you know, you write in what you say you were watching and how many people were watching. And to me, it's not a good representation at all. I think a better one would be arming the cable boxes and the satellite dish boxes, which and Apple boxes, all that sort of stuff, not to. You know, as an invasion, I guess you would let people opt out of it. But I think you should just ask, you know, you ask everybody who's in your house, who watches TV, and then basically find out what people are actually watching, what is actually tuned on to that box, and not to have it used for any nefarious reason. But I think that would be, to me, the easiest and best way to get the most fair representation. Radio is a lot harder. Obviously, we don't have to talk about that. But I think TV, I think that's... That, to me, is the simplest, easiest thing in the whole wide world, considering they can tell what information's on your box anyway.
Maybe I'm just, I don't know. The idea that there are, the idea that in 2014, people are still using diaries to track their television viewing. I mean, listen, I know people will say that, man, only 20,000 people are Nielsen families. How can that possibly determine how many people are watching Raw? Well, you know what? It does. If it's used correctly, it will give you a very, very good idea of how many people are watching any given television show. I know people don't believe that, but it's true. You can 20,000 people with an accurate way of determining what they're watching. It is a good number to determine how many people in the entire country are watching Raw. I do believe that. However, trusting people's memories, having to write in a diary, I just think it reminds me of whenever there's an election, not so much nowadays, but you know, a decade ago. And it's like, we don't know how many people have voted. It's kind of like, you don't know how many people, you're using a punch card. You're using a punch card and you're counting them by hand. It's 2000. I mean, come on. I do a live show. We're going to do a live show right after Sacrifice. And I will know exactly how many people are listening to that live show. I have the exact number. I know where they're from. I know what country they're living in. I have their IP address. I know every single solitary person that is listening to my show live. And granted, it's a different system and everything like that. But the idea that we don't have a better system than diaries. I realize not everyone uses a diary. There are some Nielsen set-top boxes. But everybody, if you're a Nielsen family, you should have a set-top box that logs every single moment of every show that you watch. Otherwise, you shouldn't be a Nielsen family. The diaries are ridiculous. Anything on paper in 2014, it's ridiculous. The idea that WWE can run a pay-per-view and they don't know, like, immediately how many people bought their pay-per-view, it's like, come on. How is this possible in 2014? You can't tell me how many people bought a pay-per-view. It's ridiculous. It's my rant about technology. I mean, come on. Let's get with the picture. All right. This person here says, when do you think Eva Marie will win the Divas title? Haven't even talked about Total Divas tonight. When do you think?
Oh, I don't think anytime soon. I honestly think I know she could, and it's the Divas, so who cares? I mean, yeah, she could, but I think the realization is her as a figure on Total Divas, perfect. Her to pop up on Raw, fine. Her to wrestle in even more than a 6 or a 10 or a 12 person match that's not directly centered around the show, I can't believe that even they're willing to do that one. I mean, Oksana, you can make more of a case for it. And really, WWE, with putting her on there, has. But I just don't think Eva Marie would be the one. There's plenty of other people on there. You know, Bayley would get called up and get it before Eva Marie does.
Does Ric Flair, when he returns on Raw tomorrow, join Evolution? Or is there a big swerve and he sides with The Shield? Which, by the way, could set up a swerve at the pay-per-view when he turns on The Shield.
I guess, but boy, would that make The Shield look stupid. And I know Ric Flair's the dirtiest player in the game and all that sort of stuff, and it wouldn't be, you know, completely destructive to The Shield or anything like that because they're strong enough, but it would just kind of make it be... It would be foolish. I think what you could do on the show is have Evolution say we've evolved at the beginning of the show by beating down Flair, and maybe The Shield runs in, chases Evolution off, doesn't necessarily help Flair, just chases them off, and maybe they kind of back away. And then later on, Flair could come out and cause some sort of distraction for The Shield and do something like that. I think if you're going to bring Flair back and he's going to be back for a regular piece of time, or if he's going to be back as part of the mix, to me, if he's not with the Evolution Act, that one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But we'll see.
We shall see. I do agree that Flair joining the Shield and then turning on them immediately would make them look like complete idiots. So I don't think they're going to do that. But maybe there will be a tease. I don't know. Maybe he won't even have anything to do with any of this. But he is going to be back tomorrow, and obviously one would think this will have to do with Evolution. It appears, by the way, that Batista is done after this pay-per-view. Triple powerbomb through... Actually, I don't even know what. Because Daniel Bryan took 3 tombstones on Raw, including on the steps, the floor, and the table, and he's expected back tomorrow. So, I don't know what you can do to put Batista out of action for 4 months.
Hey, Daniel Bryan was handcuffed and hit in the head while his head was up against the steel post with a steel chair by a very, very strong man. And he still came back and won at WrestleMania. It's episodic TV is interesting.
It's getting to the point now where it's ridiculous.
It's Dick Tracy. It's cartoons.
He's Wile E. Coyote. Or I guess who would be a babyface that just got beat up all the time and just kept coming back? Superman? Anyway.
Superman, yeah, any of those good guys. You know, there's always got to be strife before they come back again, and that's kind of what it is now.
I'm not a real comic book guy, but how do you build sympathy for a character that can't be beaten? I realize that Daniel Bryan can lose matches, but I mean, he's been beaten up six ways from Sunday repeatedly, and he always just comes back. So we're getting to the point now where it's going to be difficult to gain sympathy for this guy. You know what I mean? Not like that he won't be a babyface anymore, but just that the idea when you beat a guy up is you're supposed to feel bad for him. But when I know that you can give the guy three tombstones and he's back the following Monday, it's kind of hard to feel bad for him when you're giving him beaten. Am I reading too much into this?
No. Hey, look, there's hey, we're running out of time on it, so they're too long to get into there. But no, you're exactly right. And again, just the over the top of some of these things just doesn't, again, thinking about it, and maybe it's just in hindsight, doesn't make much sense.
Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, and more. We will be replaying every Monday morning at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. If you missed any of the show, you can head over there and check that out. Mike Sempervivi, we are getting ready to wrap up the show here today, and amazingly, we didn't talk one bit about UFC 172 last night. I just realized that as we go off the air here. What did you think about Jon Jones' performance in the main event very quickly?
Glover Teixeira can take a whooping like no other. Jon Jones is just a remarkable, amazing athlete. For anything you think about him personally or any of that sort of stuff, as far as in the octagon, he is amazing in the way he is able to use his body. With shoulder bumps and back fists and back elbows and the kicks to the knee and just all of these things, the wrestling, Glover Teixeira, how game was he to stand in there for five rounds? But this was a hell of a card. It really was very fun to watch, and I don't know if it drew a whole lot as far as Jon Jones, because he does not have the best pay-per-view sales record. But with that said, him in the ring as an athlete is something else.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Don't forget, after Sacrifice in 3 hours, we're going to be back live. Where can you hear it? WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there, check out all of the free shows, check out the free stream, and if you like what you hear, please sign up. We got a lot of great stuff up there, a lot of great archives. And if you don't check out these shows tonight, two shows coming up, by the way. We will be back next week here with a brand new show talking all of the news and pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. So thanks as always to Mike, all of the listeners, everybody at Sports Byline. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.